Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. With theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Desjardins, and me, your host, Steve Bastian. Today's topic is homeschooling an option to raise our children biblically?
Hey guys, I'm so glad that you're here at this homeschool conference. I'm
so much fun.
It's great, all the vendors and the speakers. And
there is a theme here, it seems to be, and that seems to be there's not a lot of guys. And the guys that I do see look a little bit bewildered and somewhat lost, except for the ones that are absolutely indifferent. So there seems to be a match of bewilderment and indifference, but there aren't very many of them.
I'm wondering if it's because we're standing in this pink hallway here.
Yeah, and they've changed all the bathrooms over to be all ladies' bathrooms, except for the one, the handicap, and I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah. Hey, do you notice it's the same as when you're riding a motorcycle? You pass a motorcycle, you give a little wave. You know, it's like, you're one of us, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, well, I think I found one of us.
Hey,
it's... Todd! Todd! Join!
Here I am, I'm coming.
Come!
I'm coming
come.
Here.
Join us!
I'm over here now.
That's some good work. All right, thank you. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You speaking this weekend or are you just hanging out?
I'm doing something this weekend. I am speaking this weekend.
All right, awesome. That is so cool.
Let's go into this little room over here and see if we can get away from the estrogen for a while.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. The door locks, so make sure that it locks the right way so that we don't get stuck in there.
These guys are really freaking me out, actually.
Hey, no, just that... come into this closed room. Come on, Todd, come into the closed room.
We're big fans. Big fans.
Huge fans.
Chad and Al, why does everyone that we get to hang out with us say something about being freaked out?
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense.
I
we are nice guys.
Yeah, it just could be that Todd doesn't have a big enough beard.
That's true.
At least I know Todd a little bit. Steve, you know Todd a little bit.
Yeah. Todd, I'm really glad that we ran into you. I'll actually share a little bit about what I know about you from the great interweb. Your husband, your father, your wife's is Debbie, and you have, is it 8 kids?
We do, yeah.
8? Oh, yeah, right away. You got to give you the round of applause. Yep.
I didn't do it all by myself.
But you were there, so that
I
think
was
counts,
there.
Right? Todd, you're an author. You got a couple books out there like Help, I'm Married to a Homeschool Mom. And was it the official book of homeschooling cartoons?
Right.
You're an active speaker at conventions, and you've been a guest on like Focus on the Family. You're an active writer of articles such as magazines such as Christianity Today. You post weekly columns on your website, Family Man Weekly. You have a weekly podcast as well, The Family Man Show, and I've enjoyed listening to those the last few weeks, trying to learn a lot more about what you do. And your website, www.familymanweb.com. You know, it has tons of resources. The one I enjoyed the most was How to Build a Potato Cannon. That was thoroughly inspired. I actually am thinking of pricing that out and doing it myself here soon. Ideas like for Valentine's Day, internet purity, and I really liked your You Da Dad wallpapers. I actually have the one screen here set up as that right now. So
you mean in this closet?
In this closet.
Okay.
I have screens everywhere. I got the phone, got the iPad. You know.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm really excited about spending some time chatting with you, and guys got the door locked thoroughly?
Yes, yep. We do. Let's start the recording machine for the podcast.
Right.
Good idea.
Yeah, and so, Al, you've heard Todd speak before.
I am, and I'm super excited to have Todd on the show this week. I met Todd at a homeschooling conference in Ottawa. I was immediately impressed by his love for dads, moms, and biblical families. This guy is the real deal, former pastor, who is sold out to serving Jesus, serving his family first, and then serving homeschoolers who are passionate about raising godly, dangerous, and amazing children. I was especially impressed. He gave this great talk about the importance of husbands and wives working together as a team, which is just as important in the Christian homeschooling community as it is anywhere else. And now he's trying to help families tame the techno beast in this internet age we live in. So this guy is a man after my own heart. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. He loves Jesus. He loves the Bible. He loves his family. He loves writing and speaking. He lives to inspire and equip families, and it's going to be awesome to go through this together.
Blah, blah, blah. You're making this guy sound good. Internet, great speaker. Yeah. Well, but here's the real thing. Can he survive the meat grinder?
It's our policy to put all of our guests through the meat grinder.
The meat grinder.
The meat grinder.
The meat grinder.
The meat grinder. The Meat Grinder is a biblical knowledge and personal integrity examination to see if you're worthy to speak in authority to the Carnivore Theology audience. You'll be asked a series of questions of your personal beliefs and things that Carnivore Theology finds important in a dissection of your theology. So the rules are, you must answer honestly, quickly, and indecisiveness will be seen as a weakness. You will be judged.
Okay, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready or not?
Number one, Luther, Calvin, or L. Ron Hubbard?
Calvin.
Calvin, okay. Number two, Charlotte Mason, Montessori, Waldorf, or Eclectic?
Eclectic.
Nice. Number three, Communion, wine or Welch's?
Welch's.
Number four, and this is an important one, will there be bacon in heaven?
Definitely.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Pick one book other than the Bible if you could only pick one.
Calvin and Hobbes, the best of.
Yes! Excellent.
Okay, number six, ketchup on a hot dog, yes or no?
Of course.
Seven, favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
Number eight, an oldie but a goodie, communion, leaven, unleavened, or gluten-free?
Oh man, this is hard. Chiclets.
Just gum. Man, that's an idea. That's the best idea I've ever heard. You'd be chewing on it and chewing on it all day. You'd leave the church with the taste in your mouth.
No!
Yeah, it means those little, haven't you guys ever seen those little communion bits? They look like little chiclets. They're little square. You get them in a big box and you shake them in the...
Aw, that's boring. I like the gum.
Okay. Almost at the end, Todd. You're doing okay. Number nine. Batman or Iron Man?
Oh, man. The Apostle Paul.
Oh.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! He would do terribly against the Joker.
And lastly, what term do you like to use? Unschooling, homeschool, or home learning?
Family.
Beautiful.
Ooh, okay. Al, do you have those ready to throw into our Carnivore Theology computer?
Yep, just let me type them in here and we'll see if it comes out.
So, Al, what does the computer say?
Verdict is in. He came in under the wire. Fortunately, the bacon pushed him over the edge. So, yeah. Yes, we can continue with the podcast.
Okay. you can hang with us officially now. I think we can unlock the door. He made it through.
He's an honorary carnivore.
All right.
Okay.
Be like, dude.
Yeah, oh, that's excellent. You got it.
Sure. Okay. Hey, Todd, I'm really interested in a bit of your journey to homeschooling. You know, what made you and your family get involved with homeschooling? Can you tell us a little about that journey?
Sure. You know, my wife and I, we weren't planning to homeschool our kids. I just thought we'd do the same thing that everybody else did. You know what I did? I went to a public school. My wife went to Christian school, so we thought school. And that was our plan. In fact, I wanted to win my entire little town, which was only about 400 people at the time, to Christ. So I was thinking, oh, we'll put our kids in, and we'll infiltrate, and we'll win the town to Christ. Hmm. And then I had kids, and I noticed that the little kids started wanting to hang out with my little kids in my neighborhood or come up to my house. And the thing that really got my attention was the time that there was a little girl, she couldn't have been 4 years old, and she, when my wife was pregnant, she looked at my wife and she said, "Who got you pregnant? Him?" And she like nodded at me. And I thought, "I'm not putting my kids with you," you know. And so I just asked my wife. I said, "Hey, what do you think about homeschooling?" I said, "You know, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything." Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that being in that kind of setting for a long period of time maybe will desalinize them, you know. Mm-hmm. And because I wasn't very salty. I was just in the survival mode, you know. I wanted to stay under the radar. I wasn't trying to be anything, even as a Christian. And honestly, I didn't know many Christians who did or were. So that kind of got us in that direction.
I've heard that argument many times before about that idea of being light in the community and going to school and being light and that actually being a problem. And I love that term that you just said, desalinate. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful word. So can I ask you this question then? Would you be one of those people who says that all Christians should homeschool?
No, but I would say all Christians should homeschool.
Perfect.
Saying this, that everybody's responsible for their own children. You know, whether you send your kids to public school, private school, boarding school, whatever, you are responsible. So as a dad, I think every dad should be a homeschooling dad. My dad was a homeschooling dad, and we didn't homeschool. You know, he just believed it was his job to train his kids. So he took responsibility. I know one time my brother, and my brother's a great guy, he's a godly man, but we were sitting out on a pier one time, and he said, oh, yeah, because his kids go to public school. He said, oh, I can blame the public school for my kids. You know, I know he was joking, but there was some truth in that.
Yeah.
You know, and whether you're public school or not public school or private school or Christian school, I think dad should be responsible. You know, it's my job to teach my kids everything they need to know. So homeschooling just seems like a natural outpouring of that.
Right. That is really helpful. You know, you would know, there are people who homeschool for all kinds of different reasons. And there are people that homeschool in all kinds of different ways. When we talk about the influence that our children are getting, that really comes down to some really important Christian spiritual principles, that we're to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when I think about that and I think about how different people have done homeschooling, what's the difference? What do you think that makes homeschooling a valuable Christian experience? Because a parent can pull their kid out of school and stick him in a room and just tell them to do the government curriculum online or whatever they're going to do. And what changes that and makes this a Christian family environment? What makes it a godly, healthy, biblical place to be?
Which is interesting because we actually have a Wiccan homeschool association in the Ottawa area, and they homeschool too, and they're witches.
Wow, wow. Well, I don't know much about the Wiccan homeschool community.
That's good.
But I know what makes our homeschool a godly influence isn't the curriculum used. It's the family. It's the place where we choose to do the education. When you asked me in the meat grinder, my word was unschooling, home education, or whatever you used, I really believe homeschooling is just family. It's a good place for children to be trained. I mean, I think that was God's plan from the very beginning, you know, that he just said, okay, parents are the primary instructors of their children with all their flaws, with all their failures. Here, this is enough. Not going to involve other people. I'm not saying that. But I think there's something healthy about bringing kids up in your home. And I know my wife will say, yeah, but they pick up our flaws quicker. And I remember one time I was talking to a lady. She never even barely heard of homeschooling, and I told her that. I said, oh, my wife says, you know, they pick up our flaws easier. And she says, well, at least they pick up yours. And I think there's truth in that.
Yeah, I really like what you're saying there, Todd, about the family, and I do think that it is very biblical that, you know, the family is the center for everything for our children. You know, one thing that I hear a lot of, I actually work with a school that supports homeschoolers out here in British Columbia, and I often hear a lot of criticisms and challenges to homeschooling, you know, internally and externally from within the Christian organizations, from public and secular organizations. How do you respond to those criticisms of this homeschooling, home and learning environment?
And what's the biggest ones you've ever heard? Like, what's the big criticism, and then how do you answer it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the biggest criticisms are, I think the school system already knows it's broken. It just doesn't work, you know, and so the worst they get, because they can never point back and say, see, look how we're doing it. So I think they just get louder the angrier they get. You know, they just make more and more noise. In fact, I think they're copying us. You know, they plant gardens. They take their kids out in the woods. They take their kids on field trips. They teach them about sharing and getting along. And those are all things you learn in a family. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're not – we don't need to copy them. They need to copy us. You know, sure. They might say certain things. They may say – I mean, the statistics stand for themselves. The statistics show that parents who are involved with their children in home education do better. But that's not why we do it. I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I believe that's what God would have me do. And, in fact, I meet lots of school teachers, principals, superintendents, who homeschool their kids. I think they believe in the ministry of teaching children. They just don't want their kids in the system.
This is sort of a crazy question, and I don't want to get all conspiratorial, but would you agree that there's some sort of mindset among the elementary schools that, or maybe even the government or something like that, that's trying to usurp parental authority and saying the parents are doing it wrong, therefore we should do it for them, and here's the institution that will parent, not educate, but parent the children? Yes.
Schools in Canada are starting to use the term co-parenting quite a lot. The school and the parents co-parent, and that's been in the news.
Well, I think that's I think you're right on. I think that's what they would like us to do. You know, I think that's what they would. They'd love to give over us to give over that authority to them, and lots of us have. You know, they're teaching ungodly things. I don't know about the systems in Canada, but in America, you know, my brother's son's teacher was an open homosexual. You know, and now they were able to change that. They were able to pull him out and say, "No, we don't really want that." But you tell me how that doesn't influence somebody. You tell me, you know, redefining everything, history, and taking God out of everything, that doesn't take the saltiness out of us? And just by putting a bunch of kids together, it's not a good thing, you know?
Lowest common denominator, right?
I know.
Right.
Just one more follow-up thought on that. If people have been following the news lately, they may have seen the issue with the famous television family and the older son being involved in some accusations.
Right.
One of the articles that I read discussing that was saying that part of the problem with homeschooling is that children are not exposed to safe adults whom they can go to for help, and so they're isolated in families where they might be victimized. And I thought that was a pretty poor accusation, but I just wanted to throw that at you to see if you would have a reasonable response to that.
Well, again, I think those safe adults in those school systems have already proved themselves, you know. That's not very accurate. But you know what? Families fail. You know, they do. I mean, we recorded our podcast today, and I don't know a lot about the situation, but I know that even godly parents who try to protect their children, things happen. You know, I mean, Satan is like a lion lurking, you know, trying to devour bite by bite. And, you know, we guard our families from crummy stuff on the internet, but still it slips through. We can't be there for everything. And, you know, could my kids do something like that? If they're in the right place at the right time and not feeling very wise, in a heartbeat. You know, I'd like to think they wouldn't. I'd like to think that I take precautions.
Yeah.
But, man, that's what parents do, you know. We just do, whether you're redeemed or not redeemed.
And I know that, again, like you said, none of us are perfect or anything like that, but I tend to think, too, for those who are homeschooling that are Christians, we're most likely involved in a church environment with pastors, youth pastors, children's teachers. In my family, we're involved in sports and other activities in the community with coaches. We keep ourselves involved there as parents, but our children do have other responsible adults in their life as well. So, you know, there's a sense in which I think that goes there. Am I up for the next question? Oh, yes. Fathers. Actually, I really like this question. I'm quite curious to hear what you're going to say about this. All of us on this group, we're all fathers. And all of us have jobs that can keep us pretty busy. I'm in a church. I'm involved in various different levels of ministry within our church and denomination system. And I'm a busy guy. I have a church family that calls at all hours of the day. You know what it's like. I have my wife who needs me to help her out. How do any of us still be a good dad involved in the school? You mentioned earlier that, you know, your father was a homeschooling dad even though he wasn't homeschooling. How do you be involved in that way? How do you be the kind of dad our kids need in light of the kind of situation most of us are living in today?
You know, that's a great question, And that really, that's what drives me, because I see most guys pulled in those directions, and we blow it in the dad department because those things pull on us so strongly. I've seen plenty of pastors, and I was a pastor, who gave their gave everything they had to a church, and then the church spit them out and spit out their bones, you know, and they let them, and their family is the one that's suffering. You know, there's one of those stories that forever changed my life. I had a friend who graduated from seminary the same time I did, and he went to be at a church, and I saw him a couple months afterwards, and I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And he said, "Oh, it's good," and he was telling me this story that happened on the very first Sunday that he was there. He was a youth pastor, and you know how when you're the new pastor, you stand in that line, and everybody comes down and shakes your hand, welcome, pastor, how are you doing, you know, and all that stuff. He said the senior pastor's daughter came up to him, shook his hand. She was only in junior high, And all she said to him was, your children are going to hate you. And you know, I'll tell you, that's a hurting girl whose dad was very successful at being a pastor. It was a huge church. And, you know, I decided then I wouldn't blow it in that department. Yeah. If I was going to fail, I was going to fail in the my occupation side. You know, I don't care about family, man. I don't care about, I didn't care about, you know, how successful I was as a pastor. I just wanted to get the dad part right. I know, in fact, my qualifications for being in leadership are how I do as a dad, not how I do as a pastor to be, you know, to my qualifications for being a dad. Yeah. And I see lots of us talk about it. You know, they had the big Promise Keepers events down here. But afterwards, no one quit their jobs. No one quit going to the golf clubs. You know, there should have been a mass exodus. Things should have changed, but nothing changed. Now all we have is cool T-shirts and cool hats, you know, that tell us about keeping promises.
Yeah, but at least you have a mug. It can say world's number one dad. That takes
care of it. That's right. That's right.
I have read so many books like these from these big authors, you know, and I'm not going to name any, but the beginning of the book, always in the introduction, it goes, you know, that their church is 10,000 people, 20,000 people, they've grown and all the rest of that stuff, and it says, at the beginning of my ministry, and these are books for pastors, right? At the beginning of my ministry, I've dedicated my entire life to making sure that my church was growing, but boy, did I ever learn a lot after that. And in my last years, you know, as my children are adults now, I look back and I think, boy, I really should have maybe paid attention to my family. Now that I've got this giant book deal and a brand new, you know, whatever, and this church and stuff. You know, I think looking back, maybe I should have spent a little bit more time with my family. And these guys, you know, a pastor or even any successful or desirous to be successful man looks at these guys and goes, yeah, but maybe if I trade my family, I can get what you got, which is what will make me feel the best.
Yeah, it looks like that way. And I mean, but the stories are always the same. I mean, always. I don't care who you take. You know, yes, Billy Graham, I saw him on a documentary one time, and his comments were, would you do anything different? He said, you know, I probably would have spent more time as a father. Yeah. You know, and I said, and it doesn't, you pick the occupation. They all say the same thing. I'll tell you, I don't care. I really, 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 I prayed 2 days ago. I can remember going up, and I said, God, you can take it all away. I don't care. I don't have to go out on the road anymore. I don't have to speak to anybody. I just want to be a good dad. I want my kids to love me. That's a lot harder than doing the other stuff. It's easy to be a podcast host. It's easy to hang out and talk. It's easy to be a pastor. It's hard being a dad because, you know, you blow it, and they look at you, and like, is this all you got for me, you know? And it's just hard, but that's what I want for the dads that I talk to. And I just keep pushing them down the right path. Yes, I don't believe, is if you're a successful dad, that you probably can make as much as you would like to be. I don't think you can. You know, you may not have the ministry you'd like to have. I don't think you can. I think there are a lot of things you cannot do as a dad. You know, we've been kind of sold falsely so that you can have it all. I don't think you can. I think you have to make sacrifices to be a father, a husband, and if you're going to homeschool, you got to give it all up. And yet we still have it all. My fear is that we as dads are trading good stuff for stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think at the end of your life, you know that, but it's too late then.
Yeah, you're right. Todd, we're getting to the end here, and I just wanted to make sure I asked you this question. I want to bounce something off you. It's something I was chewing on for a while. I was at a homeschool meeting where they're young homeschoolers, brand new homeschoolers, and one of them raised their hand, or two of them raised their hand, actually, and said, like, what do I need to know about homeschooling? Can you tell me some stuff? They talked about curriculum, and they talked about introducing, and then she raised her hand again, and she's like, no, I get that part. Can you tell me the what I really need to know about homeschooling? I thought that was so insightful. Right. And so when I chewed through it and I was thinking about it, there were four areas that I saw that homeschool moms, homeschool families, and even dads, they get this wrong. And can I throw them at you and see what you think?
Go ahead.
All right. The first one I see is that they get competitive. In other words, the parents start to one-up each other with their curriculum and their sports and their classes. Like, my kid's in Latin, but my four-year-old's going to be a doctor, and mine's memorized the book of Isaiah, right? And it becomes competition. The second one is comparative, which is they try to evaluate their child's success and address their own insecurities as parents or as teachers by comparing to the other families around them and all the children comparing their children. So they're trying to chart their success even by comparing to the secular elementary school. So, you know, Johnny's mom's house is cleaner and they host more friends, but my kids know 100 different kinds of birds. Right. My kid must be dumb because all their friends know how to tie their shoes and they're all going to college and all he wants to do is play Legos, right? Even the college one, you know.
Right.
And the third one would be fear Homeschoolers have more fear than anyone that I know, especially homeschool moms. They're just riddled with insecurities about the present and the future. You know, how will my toddler get into a good college? Am I messing up my child completely? How much math is enough math? Why is there so much math? And the fourth one is that they get confused about career and character. And I know this one's going to, you're going to agree with this, and that the problem is that they spend so much time talking like the world. What will my child be when he grows up? What school will he attend? How much money will he make? Rather than, does my child have good character? Does my child show love and faith? What makes my child special? And am I helping them be who God designed them to be?
So. And I've always said, I don't care as long as my child's a dentist with a beach house for me in Florida.
You know? I'm bouncing right those things off. Can you kind of fill those in for me? Competitive, comparative, fear, and character?
True. You know, I agree. I think all those things. I think we think like the rest of the world. You know, we've made their standards to our standards. And for some kids, you know, like you were saying, Chad, you know, the kid with who can be a dentist, it works out great. But there are a lot of kids who don't fit within that. And so we spend our lives not smiling because they disappoint us, because they become, you know, our adversaries. They're in the way of helping them be what they can be. So we can look good, you know?
Wow, say that again. That was awesome.
I can never say that again.
They're in the way of what we want them to be.
Right.
That's awesome. Right.
And so then we quit smiling at them. And, you know, again, some kids are easy to smile at. There are some kids who fit the system real easy. And, you know, they're happy, they're obedient, they're whatever. But some of our kids are just the opposite. You know, they wake up grumpy, they go to bed grumpy. You know, they march to their own drummer. It's just hard. And we don't smile at them. And we wonder why they turn away, because we push them away. Here's what I want for all my kids. I want all my kids to know that I love them more than anything. And I want them to feel light, that I smile at them, that whatever path they choose, whether they're here or engineers or garbage men or work at a chain store their whole life, or whether they invent something or whether they have a I just want them to think, man, my dad thinks I'm okay. And I'll tell you, that kind of love is irresistible. They cannot resist it. They will not walk away. They can't. I had a lady write me, and she said, my dad was so on my side. We worked together. He smiled at me often. I never even thought about rebellion. I never even thought about it, you know. And yet we as Christian dads, homeschooling dads, not even homeschooling, just Christian dads, all we do is correct. You know, we're telling me, you need to be more like this. What kind of character is that? You know, why would Jesus want you to act like this? And I think I wouldn't even like me, because, you know, I'm just so unlikable to my children. And I think we just not lower the standard, but I think we remember that there are children that we will love them unconditionally no matter what, that we will like them no matter what. And that's different. You know, I think we dads, you know, we're just hit on so many different areas. We're pulled away by success or being something. And then we come home, and our children make it hard to like them. And so then we give them a lot of memories of dads who pretty much never smiled at them and who were always disappointed and who always gave that look of, yeah, I thought you'd choose that.
And I know, I think that's a good convictional thing to say, because I know that all of us are guilty of that. You've just be quiet and go in your room and play for a while. Leave us alone.
Right. Well, and it reminds me of the picture of God, right? A lot of people have that picture of God, that he is that stern dad that only always corrects all the time. But he's also the God that loves you, and he's your father, and he's waiting for you, and he is always there when you come to him, and he's a good, good dad.
And I think you get that. You know, you can come to that theological point, you know, because, you know, intellectually, I think I have no problem believing that God loves me unconditionally. I think he likes me. I really do. It's not because my theology is so strong. I believe I think that way because my dad loved me that way. I believe my wife, she struggles with that. She thinks God likes her if she has a quiet time every day, that she acts becomingly, and is a good mom and a good wife. She thinks that way not because of her theology. We have the same theology. She believes that because that's how her dad treated her.
Right.
You know, oh, honey, I think you could do a little bit better. And, you know, he was only really, he liked her when she performed well. Mm. My dad just liked me because I was his, and that's what I want for my kids.
That's awesome. That's
great, Todd. I often will remind my children, especially when I am frustrated and I'm on that brink of, you know, making a bad choice as a dad, I always remind them, I love you no matter how frustrated I get and no matter what choices you make. The bad choices I make, I'm still going to love you, and that's number one. And you know, it's really awesome that when my oldest son, when he was about four, he kind of understood that. The one day I could see that light turn, and you know, he'd start to ask me, "Dad, do you love me when I did this or when I did this?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Absolutely." You know, the love never stops. And then now we talk about that as that's how God is. You know, even the Bible stories of the Old Testament and you know his wrath that comes down, he still loved those people. And
amen.
Thank you so much for your time here.
Yeah. God.
It's,
we should let you get back out there. We do have a choice to make. We have to decide whether or not we're going to stay here or go brave the wilds of the estrogen-ridden homeschooling curriculum.
That's true. I can't stay here, can I?
You can't just stay here. No, I mean, it's comfortable. So are we out of here?
Yeah. I have an idea. I think we let Steve go out that door and see if he could distract them while the rest of us run down the hallway and back into one of the conference rooms.
That's a good idea.
Before we do this, I just want, if you liked what Todd was saying, please check out his www.familymanweb.com. He's got amazing resources there. I know it's going to be one that's in my tool belt as a dad, for sure. www.familymanweb.com.
There you go. Boom.
What, I'm going out this door here. You want me to put my head down and brave
go
it
go out there to start talking? Yeah. We're going to go the other way.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Just where's the butterfly exhibit? I want to see the butterflies again.
Go. God, you're first. Go.
Guys, again!
Bye, Steve!
This has been Carnivore Theology with Chad, Al, and Steve. Thank you for listening today as we discussed homeschooling as an option for children with our special guest, Todd Wilson. To find out more about Carnivore Theology, or if you have any topics or questions you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting us on our website, www.carnivoretheology.com, or leaving us a message on our SpeakPipe page, speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Even though I have no clue what reality you're in.
We don't. Our wives don't know where we are. Yeah.
Like, you spend 40 minutes doing that?
That's where the sound effect happens.
You're just playing it. Yeah.
I promise this will all make sense on the audio version. I promise you. It just seems like we're insane. We're really not.
So I took like time off from my day for this. Nothing personal.
Thank you so much, Todd, for being on the podcast this week.
Hey, anytime, but not for at least a couple years.
Okay.
maybe longer.
I love how Todd just sat there in stunned silence as we were doing that. What are you guys doing? I'm not getting involved in this at all.
That's because he's mature. He has a website about being a mature man.
That's true. No.